Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, and following my previous talk, here is one of the solutions we can share, we'd like to share with you. It's cost-effective to mitigate ammonia losses and also the implication of the nitrogen footprint. So in Australia, and greenhouse gas 50% from power plant because we use the poor quality coal, brown coal, to produce for electricity generation. But and agriculture is second highest. And as I said earlier, the methane from cattle, about 12%, almost similar to the transport. But as I said earlier, and about 1 million cattle in a feedlot, and 50% dietary nitrogen, lost as ammonia. So that's what we did in the previous study, and in the north, in the south, used different technologies and open pass, FTIR, laser, you know, as I mentioned before, the new toy is quantum cluster laser integrated with the aircraft. So, well, this is in our previous study, in even more than that, in the 60-70% nitrogen, nitrogen loss of ammonia, it's basically it's about 70 kilogram nitrogen per head per year is lost as ammonia. And as I said earlier, like average size feedlot in Australia, 20,000 cattle, you lost almost like 9 tons of urea fertilizer per day. That's in the, not only air pollution, as previous speaker said, even the nutrient loss is almost like $1.8 million. So, and then not mentioning the indirect greenhouse gases as N2O. So can we mitigate it, such large losses? And currently, we there's no cost-effective way to mitigate it. As previous speaker said, often majority of ammonia already lost before we apply the manure into the field. So, well, lucky we have in Australia we have so much reserved lignite, brown coal. It has the chemical, the physical chemical property we need it because it's acidic. Can neutralize pH because manure typically alkaline, ammonia loss cannot occur with pH lower than 7. And it has a higher cation exchange capacity, can absorb ammonia. Also, has a high level of carbon. One thing is, you know, when we started the study in manure, I was surprised that carbon nitrogen ratio for manure is 10 to 1 or 12 to 1. So, in a typical feedlot, actually, it's carbon limiting. Most of the carbon being digested by cattle. And you have 2,000 and ppm, the ammonia, is sitting in the manure, pH is 8, not much carbon. It is waiting to be lost. So if we have lots of active carbon, if we can immobilize that, it might help. So the experiment, so we have to conduct an experiment to test our theory whether the lignite can mitigate ammonia losses. This is so we have to do a in our experiment station in the University of Melbourne, we have to construct two small feedlot, 24 cattle. Each one is controlled, normal, one is with lignite. I can tell you, and I'm a soil scientist, the first experiment that we have to deal with animal, we buy animal, is have to feed them. It's expensive, it's very expensive to feed, to do with animals. So we use mass balance, and integrated horizontal flux method, and also open pass FTIR to measure ammonia. So here result, you know, with lignite has been very effective to reduce ammonia losses. So that black line, the red line is the ammonia losses, ammonia polarization, as in the control. The black line, that's a daily flux, daily ammonia fluxes. And then black line is with lignite. Again, it is significantly lower. So accumulative ammonia losses, control, business as usual, less with lignite. So actually, to our surprise, so effective. So in the end, the nitrogen content in the manure is much higher than in the lignite compared to control. And then the second question, okay, we retained money was retained, certainly it was an effective way. That's how much we feed the animal, nitrogen intake, 300 grams to identical. How much ammonia losses in the control, 150, and the compare lignite, 50. So about 65% is effective. And then, as I said earlier, the manure become nitrogen richer manure. It's a good, and then we apply to the nearby, the same campus, to the sorghum field, to grow, to irrigate sorghum. And then, it's quite a few treatments, but just I want to look, let's compare this one. We have a new, we have a new manure, old manure. It's a new manure, without lignite, because that soil was very poor, certainly responsive to the nitrogen. So with lignite treated manure, we achieved even higher sorghum biomass. So it's a win-win. This I have to say, often when I tell my funding body, I said this is a story is almost too good to be true. We are delighted, reduce the ammonia losses significantly, because in some very warm season, some of this your reduction is lower, but as high as 70. So basically, you can reduce ammonia losses between 20 to 50 kilogram nitrogen per hectare per year. And then those just nutrient value alone in the manure, that's equivalent to how much, $30 to $70, because that is based on the 600 kilogram per ton of urea fertilizer, if you have to buy. In Australia, we have, in Victoria in particular, we almost have a huge reserve. Let's reserve lignite, you can burn for 500 years. So it's almost cost nothing. Basically, transport and the application. We did some calculation, it was $7. So actually, it's economically effective. And then, as a previous speaker mentioned, not only this is reduce the air pollution, keep the nutrient value, and of course, it's assumed the manure will be applied into the crop. Okay. What is it also has impact on the nitrogen footprint? This is one of my PhD students' recent work. So we are involved in an international consortium to look at a nitrogen, reactive nitrogen footprint. And unfortunately, we don't have Canadian data. I think Canadian hasn't analyzed this nitrogen footprint yet. This preliminary Australian data, US, so you can see the largest reactive nitrogen footprint we produced per person per year is mainly from food. Australia, US is a bit higher than Australia. Okay. Australia has very high energy, because when you produce energy, also you produce reactive nitrogen. You compare to Germany and Netherlands actually, in terms of food consumption, nitrogen footprint, actually it's pretty high. But they are very, very effective in other things, in the housing, in particular, in this in the waste treatment. So that's how the Netherlands much lower. Anyway, so that's impact. So I really you try to take this opportunity that my result I show you very simple. Lignite has been effective. I think I want to share with this challenge, the questions. Worldwide, we'll have 100,000 agriculture scientists. And we all claim, we all want to agriculture to be more sustainable, more efficient. We all want to produce the foods more green. But yet, we don't have anything to judge the food, which food is green, is more sustainable produced or not. We don't have labeling. You buy a car today, the car manufacturer have to show you how much carbon dioxide produced or NOx produced per kilometers. Like in Australia, assuming in the US too, working in the supermarket, the refrigerator have to show you energy star efficiency, the house efficiency. But yet, for agriculture, we don't have anything. We walk to the supermarket, I can't tell the beef produced from you or beef from you, which more is more efficiently produced. So this is, I think, a challenge for us. Imagine if the feedlot in Australia, they do scaling up use lignite to retain the ammonia and then apply in agriculture field. That be footprint, natural footprint will be halved. Who is benefited? As a society is benefited, the environment benefited. Shouldn't we reward that management practice? To be able to do that, we have to have some labeling, some evidence index. This is and also, in March, I was attending National Footprint Workshop in Japan. In Japan, you look at the air is clean, water is clean, because 60% food in Japan is imported. The natural footprint left behind in Australia, other countries. Should the Japanese pay for that? As a scientific community, should we develop the index, the cost, as a carbon trading? I think this is how can we communicate, educate the public and policymakers? I often, because I have the time, I often use the example. In my team, we have other people working on the vegetable farms in Australia. When you work to the intensive vegetable, celery, the natural footprint and efficient is less than 20%. When you work in the supermarket, people automatically buy dark green spinach or celery. The dark green, because it has higher nitrate concentration, we don't need. And to produce dark green, you have to use lots of fertilizer. Okay, that's again, advertising again. That's my last slide. Thank you.
Six tenths
of lignite per hectare per area. That's
and did you conduct any studies to determine the stability of the nitrogen in that, lignite manure mixture? So can it sit around for a while? Does the nitrogen stick around?
We have some, we have older manure, new manure. The older manure, I didn't report result here in a separate experiment. With lignite treated manure, even with stockpile for 2 months, still has high much. Of course, there's more losses. There's some losses, but still has much higher natural content in the lignite treated.
Tenfold difference.
Jin Lee, can you remember?
Up to 3 months.
Okay, the lignite we use in the is 6 tons per hectare, and then the manure majority lignite, some lignite will be decomposed to the carbon dioxide. It's not much. The most lignite still maintained in the feedlot it's become nitrogen mixed with nitrogen. It's an organic manure, and it will apply to agriculture field. In fact, it's a carbon nitrogen rich manure. I think instead of being burned as an energy source, I think this is a far more environmental friendly application of the lignite.
Would it be possible to use lignite on large scale feed yards?
I think we try to talk to the commercial feed lot. Also, funding body for scaling up. Yes, I think we don't see why it can't. Yeah.
Okay. But you are going to scale.
Yes,
up
but I think of course one thing is laser practical. But lignite is you can't store in high temperature too hot, too long, because that can be a fire hazard. That can be problem. Good questions. We are doing experiment testing the potential maximum capacity, the cation exchange and low pH and acidity nitrification, we estimate 6 to 8 weeks because you can't apply too frequent. In Australia, commercial feedlot, every 8 weeks they renew, they clean the manure.
How would you apply it?
We just spray on animal pens.
One more question. Transport of manure particles as well as microbial particles in other places?
I'm not quite sure about your question, and maybe we can discuss later on.